"The years!" cried Amenhotep, snapping his fingers as he held them up. "Of course," said Joseph. "It needs not to rise out of any cauldron, nor any rolling of eyes, nor foaming at the mouth, to tell us that the cows are years, 7 and 7, and the ears of corn which sprouted one after the other, and to the same number, shall they be something quite different and vastly hard to guess?" "No," cried Pharaoh, and snapped his fingers again. "They are years, too." "As divine reason would have it," answered Joseph, "to which all praise and honor shall be given. But why the cows should have become ears, 7 fruitful and 7 barren? Now indeed the cauldron must be fetched. Large, round as the moon, that the answer may rise out of it, and tell us what the connection is between cows and ears, and the reason why the first 7 cows were so fat, and 2nd 7 so lean. Pharaoh will be so kind as to send for a cauldron and tripod."
"Get along with your cauldron," cried the king. "Is this a time to talk of cauldrons, as though we needed anything of the sort? The connection is as plain as a pike-staff, and clear as a gem of the first water. There is a connection between the goodness and the badness of the cows and the ears. One means good crops, and the other bad ones."
He paused, staring out into space before him.
7 fat years will come," he said in a sort of transport, "and then 7 lean ones.
"Without fail or faltering," said Joseph, "for it was told you twice." Pharaoh directed his gaze upon his lamb.
"You have not fallen dead after the prophecy," he said with a certain admiration.
"Were it not evil and punishable to say so," Joseph responded, "one might put it that it is wonderful Pharaoh does not fall dead, for Pharaoh has prophesied."
"No, you are just saying that," contradicted Amenhotep. "You made it seem as though I myself interpreted, because you are a child of stratagems and descended from rogues. But why could I have not done it before you came? I only knew what was false, but not what was true. For true is this interpretation, that I know in my very soul. My own dream knows itself again in the interpretation. Yes, you are indeed an inspired lamb, but you certainly have your own little ways. You are no slave of the binding pattern of the depths. You did not prophesy first the curse time and then the blessing time, but the other way around, first the blessing and then the curse, and that is very original of you."
"It was you yourself, Lord of the Two Lands," answered Joseph, "and on you it depended. You dreamed first of the fat kine and ears, and then of the lean ones, and you yourself are the only original." Amenhotep worked himself up out of the hollow of his chair and sprang to his feet. He strode to his mother's seat, moving swiftly on those odd limbs of his. The heavy thighs and thin lower part showed plainly through the batiste garment.
"Mama," he said, "now we have it. My king dreams are now interpreted to me, and I know the truth. When I think of the erudite rubbish that was passed off to my majesty, the daughters, the cities, the kings, and the 14 children, I feel as much like laughing as I felt like weeping before when I was desperate at its poverty. Now, thanks to this prophetic youth, I know the truth, and I can simply laugh at it. But the truth itself is serious enough. My majesty has been shown that 7 fat years will come in all Egypt, and after that, 7 years of dearth, such that one will quite forget the previous plenty, and famine will consume the land, just as the lean kine consumed the fat, and the blasted ears the golden ones. For such was the message, that one would know no more of the fullness that was before the famine time, for its harshness will consume our memory of the fullness. This is what was revealed to Pharaoh in his dreams, which were one dream, and which came to him because he is the mother of the lands. That it remained dark to me until this hour is what I can scarcely understand. Now it is brought to life by the aid of this genuine but peculiar lamb. It was necessary, in order that the king might dream, that I should be. In the same way,
it was necessary that he should be, in order that the Lamb might prophesy. Our being is only the meeting place between not being and ever being. Our temporal, only the medium of the eternal. And yet, not only that. For we must ask, it is the problem which I should like to put before the thinkers of my Father's house, whether the temporal, the individual, and the particular get more worth and value from the eternal, or the eternal more from the particular and temporal. That is one of those beautiful questions which permit of no solution, so that there is no end to the contemplation of them from dewy eve to early dawn. Seeing T shake her head, he broke off. "Mani," said she, "your majesty is incorrigible. You kept on at us about your dreams, which you thought were so important to the realm that they must be interpreted without fail, so that they could not fulfill themselves unhindered. But now that you have the meaning, or think you have, you act as though everything were all settled. You forget the meaning even as you utter it, to get lost in the most remote and impossible speculations. Is that like a mother? I could not even call it fatherly, and I can scarcely wait until this man here has gone back where he came from and we are alone to admonish you indignantly from my maternal throne. It is possible that this soothsayer knows his craft, and that what he says may happen. It has happened in the past, that good and poor seasons have alternated, that then the nourisher has run low, and time after time he has denied his blessing to the fields, so that want and famine consumed the lands. It has happened. It has actually happened 7 times running, as the chronicles show. It can happen again. And therefore you have dreamed it. But perhaps you have dreamed it because it is going to happen again. If that is what you think, then, my child, your mother is astonished that you can rejoice over the interpretation, and even flatter yourself that in a way you made it yourself. And now, instead of summoning all your counselors and wise men together to consider how to meet the threatening evil, you go off into such extravagant abstractions as this about the meeting place of the not-being and the ever-being. "But, dear little mama, we have time," cried Amenhotep with a lively gesture. "Where there is no time, then of course one cannot take any. But we can, for before us lies a fullness of it. 7 years! That is the great thing, the fact to make us dance and rub our hands together. That this highly individual lamb was not bound to the hateful pattern, and did not prophesy the accursed time before the blessing time, but the blessing time first, and for as long as 7 years. Your rebuke would be just if the bad time, the time of the withered kine, were due to begin tomorrow. Then there would certainly be no time to lose in thinking about expedients and preventive measures. Although my majesty is free to confess, he knows no adequate measures against failure of crops. But 7 years of fatness are granted us in the kingdom of the black earth, during which the love of the people for their pharaoh mother will flourish like a tree, under which he can sit and teach his father's teaching. So I do not see why, on the very first day—" "Your eyes are speaking, soothsayer," he broke off, "and you have such a very piercing look. Have you anything to add to our common interpretation?" "Nothing," answered Joseph, "save a plea that you permit your servant to go now to his own place, back to the prison where he was serving, and into the pit out of which you took him for the sake of your dream. For his task is done, and his presence is no longer fitting in the places of the great. In his hole will he live and feed upon the golden hour when he stood before Pharaoh, the beautiful son of the lands, and before the great mother, whom I name in the second place only because language will have it so, which belongs to time, and must deal with one thing after the other. Unlike the world of images, where two can stand side by side. But speech and naming belong to time. Thus the first mention belongs to the king. Yet truly the second is not the second. For was not the mother before the son? So much in the succession of things. But whither my smallness now returns, there will I continue in my thoughts this intercourse with the great, to mingle in which were culpable of me. Pharaoh was right, I shall say to myself in the silence, to rejoice in the reversed order and the beautiful respite before the time of cursing and the years of drought. But how right was not the mother, too, who was before him with the view and the warning that from the very first day of the blessing time, and from the very day of the interpretation, there must be much taking of thought against the coming of evil. Not to avoid it, for we avoid not the purposes of God, but to anticipate and provide against it by proper foresight. For the term of blessing which is promised us means, in the first place, a stage wherein to take breath to bear the affliction, but in the second place, it means time and space to take steps, at least to clip the wings of the raven of calamity, to take note of the coming evil, to work against it, and so far as possible, not only to keep it in bounds, but perhaps to derive from it a blessing to boot. This, or something like it, shall I be saying to myself in my dungeon, since it would be worse than improper for me to inject my thoughts into the converse of the great. What a great and splendid thing, shall I whisper to myself, is the wisdom which can convert even misfortune into blessing. And how gracious is God, that he granted to the king, through the medium of his dreams, such a wide survey over time, not only over 7, but over 14 years. Therein lies the provision and the command to provide. For the 14 years are but one time, made up of 7 though it is, and it does not begin in the middle, but at the beginning, in other words, with today. For today is the day of surveying the whole, and to survey it all is to provide for it all. All this is very odd, remarked Amenhotep. Have you been speaking, or have you not? You have been speaking while you did not speak, but only let us hear your thoughts, those, that is, which you only think to think. But it seems to me it is the same as though you had spoken. In other words, you contrived a little device to say something that had not yet been said. Everything must have its first time, Joseph replied, but foresight is not new, and there has been for very long the shrewd employment of what time is granted. If God had put the bad time before the blessing time, and it began tomorrow, there could be no counsel, nor could any avail. What the chaff time wrought among men could not be made good by the fullness to follow. But now it is the other way on, and there is time, not to waste, but to make good the coming want, and to balance the fullness and the lack by saving the fullness to feed the lack. The order of the dream was meant to instruct us. The fat kine come up first, then the lean, which means that he who makes the survey is called and commanded to feed the lack. You mean we must heap up provision and gather it into bins? Asked Amenhotep. On the very largest scale, said Joseph with decision, in quite other measure than has ever been in the time of the two lands. And the master of the survey shall be the taskmaster of the fullness. He shall control it with strictness. The people's love for him will teach them the economy of plenty. Then, when the dearth comes, and they find that he can give, how will their love and trust increase? Under that spreading tree he may sit and teach, and the master of the survey shall be the vicar and shadow spender of the king.